A great deal of research connects nutrition with cancer risk. Overweight people, for example, are at a higher risk of developing postmenopausal breast cancer, endometrial cancer, colon and kidney cancers, and a certain type of esophageal cancer. Now, preliminary findings from researchers at Washington University School of Medicine in St. Louis suggest that eating less protein may help protect against certain cancers that are not directly associated with obesity. The research, which is published in the December issue of the American Journal of Clinical Nutrition, shows that lean people on a long-term, low-protein, low-calorie diet or participating in regular endurance exercise training have lower levels of plasma growth factors and certain hormones that are linked to cancer risk. And I'm pleased to welcome back to our show Dr. Luigi Fontana, who is assistant professor in the Department of Internal Medicine, Division of Geriatrics and Nutritional Sciences, and Center of Human Nutrition at the Washington University School of Medicine. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
How are you?
Fine, thank you. And you?
I'm doing just great, thanks. It's a lovely spring day in Ottawa, and the snow is melting, so I'm very happy.
Good. Also here is a very beautiful day.
I wanted to ask you what the driving force was behind this particular research. What was it that made you interested in looking at this specific area?
Well, here at WashU, we are interested in the long-term effects of different diets on longevity. And as you know, cardiovascular disease and cancer are the two major leading causes of death and accelerated aging in Western countries. So that's why we are studying different groups of people that have been, you know, following for many years different type of diets, and you know, to see how the metabolic growth factor and other factors are associated with different type of diseases.
Can you trace the development in our understanding of these nutritional factors that led to the design of this particular study? So what is the history behind this particular study with regards to the knowledge of growth factors and cancer risk and certain nutrients? What sort of body of knowledge built up towards this particular study?
Well, we know that being overweight and obese poses you at a higher risk of developing some type of cancer, as you said before, and you know, mainly postmenopausal breast cancer, some types of colon cancer, endometrial cancer, pancreas cancer, and adenocarcinoma of the esophagus. However, there are a couple of cancers like premenopausal breast cancer and prostate cancer that are not associated with excessive obesity, but they are associated with IGF-1. IGF-1 is a growth factor that is typically regulated by protein and calorie intake. So we have seen that people that have higher levels of IGF-1, that means insulin-like growth factor 1, have a higher risk of developing prostate cancer and premenopausal breast cancer. So there are many studies, many epidemiological studies supporting this finding. We know that, as I said, you know, a low-calorie or low-protein diet acutely decreases IGF-1, but we didn't have data on long term, and so I was able to recruit a group of people that were following a low protein, low calorie diet for many years, and we matched these people with lean athletes that they are equally lean in terms of percent body fat, and we found that many of the growth factors were equally low, insulin, inflammation, and other growth factors that were equally low in the low-calorie, low-protein, in the athletes. However, the IGF-1 was significantly lower in the low-protein, low-calorie diet, suggesting that a low-protein, low-calorie diet is more powerful than leanness by itself to decrease IGF-1. And when we are saying low protein, it's not really true, because these people that are eating 0.7 grams of protein per day, well 1.78, and the recommendation of the RDI is 0.8. Mm-hmm. The problem is that most of the people in Western countries are eating 1.4, 1.5 grams, kilograms a day of protein. That is 30 to 50% more than the amount that is recommended. So my research is just suggesting this is not the final proof, but my question is, if we're eating 30, 50% more calories than we need that are recommended, we know what happens. You develop obesity and the metabolic alteration associated with obesity. My question is, as a provocative question, what happens if you eat 30, 50% more proteins than is recommended, that is 0.8 grams, kilograms a day?
Now, what other hypothesis-generating ideas have arisen from this research? You've mentioned now that if more protein is consumed, that you see various hormone systems or various hormone parameters increase, the IGF is increased. I guess the question now is the pathophysiology behind some of these cancers and what leads to this triggering effect when these factors are elevated.
Well, you know, IGF-1 is a powerful growth factor, so that's why it's linked with many cancer, because anytime you have a mutation in a cell, if you have lots of growth factor like IGF-1, insulin, testosterone, other anabolic factors, the cells that is mutated, instead of going in apoptosis, is pushed to proliferate. So the theory beyond, you know, higher IGF-1, higher growth factors, and higher risk of developing cancer is based on this theory that, you know, if you have lower growth factors, then basically the cell that is mutated has time to repair the damage, or if it's not able to repair the damage, to go in apoptosis, to die. So but if you have a loss of growth factor, the cells are pushed to proliferate.
So in other words, you're preventing a triggering mechanism to encourage those cells to proliferate and become cancerous.
Right, exactly. And that's how calorie restriction, I don't know if you know in animals, calorie restriction not only increases maximal lifespan, but is also a powerful intervention to reduce cancer. And one of the major effects of IGF-1, it's lowering growth factors, in particular IGF-1 and insulin. So there is a school beyond, you know, the idea that too much growth factors are bad, both for cancer and for longevity. The problem is that we don't really know which is the ideal amount of growth factors that are associated with a lower risk of cancer and with a higher, you know, chance of living a long life. And that's what we are studying here at Washington University.
So is this going to be a subject of further research as well, looking now more closely at the degree or the amount of protein or the amount of hormone or growth factors that will trigger that event as opposed to allow the cells to die?
Exactly. So yeah, that's one of our interests here at Washington University.
Now, for our listeners that have heard with the respect to the amount of protein that they should consume, and they hear 0.8 grams per kilo per day, or 0.78 or 1.5, what does that translate into in terms of consuming food? Say someone was 70 kilos or 80 kilos, what would that actually mean in terms of the protein they would eat, considering the diets that North Americans consume today?
Well, if a person is 80 kilos, let's say, 0.8 means that he has to eat 64 grams of protein a day, instead of most people with of 80 kilos, they eat 120 grams of protein a day.
Right.
And probably that's due to the type of diet. You know, the typical American, the typical Western diet is a high protein, high fat diet. And lately, it's a combination of high protein, high fat with high refined carbs. So basically the worst you can get, that is very far from the typical Mediterranean or typical traditional Mediterranean diet. That was a kind of diet rich in nutrient-dense, relatively poor in calories, with lots of phytochemicals, instead of the typical modern diet is basically high in refined and processed foods, lots of animal products, lots of proteins. And, you know, the problem is that on a short term, if you are obese and you go on a high protein, high fat diet, okay, you may lose weight. But we don't know really what happens after 5-10 years.
Right. And in other words, for someone to consume, say, 64 grams of protein, if they have one hamburger in that day, they're probably exceeding that 64 grams right away.
Yes.
So, and people don't...
But, you don't have to... I mean, one day is, you know, is something, but you can also, you know... I think it's better to think about a week, not about every day, you know, the amount of protein in a week, in a month. So if you eat, you know, too much protein today, then you can eat less protein tomorrow and eat more, you know, vegetables, fruits, and other stuff.
Well, Dr. Fontana, I'd like to thank you very much for taking the time and joining us again today to discuss this research. And I do want to follow up with you with future studies that come up to sort of continue this story and get people understanding more of the mechanism behind cancers and obesity and some of the other diseases that we're seeing in our society.
Thank you so much for inviting me. Have a nice day.
It's my pleasure. All the best to you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye now. Dr. Luigi Fontana is Assistant Professor in the Department of Internal Medicine, Division of Geriatrics and Nutritional Sciences, and Center of Human Nutrition at the Washington University School of Medicine. Coming up, some brief news briefs, and then we'll be talking about staff shortages in emergency rooms and information about anticoagulants. I'm Dr. Barry Dworkin, and you're listening to Sunday House Call.